Chapter 3. Shop Layout. Let's discuss shop layout. Let's be clear about one thing. No workshop is perfect for everyone. If there were an ideal workshop, I could simply give you a precise plan to follow with clear dimensions. Every person who comes to the hobby or profession of woodworking has his or own particular collection of tools and unique work styles, skills, and desires pertaining to the kind of woodworking he or she wants to do. Develop a layout that works for you. As noted earlier, each person is unique, therefore, one solution can't work for everyone. I can only tell you about the important issues of consideration, rather than providing you with plans for a perfect shop layout. Then I'll offer you strategies and guidelines for planning your shop. These will make your workshop a comfortable and efficient one that is hopefully perfect for your needs. You should plan your shop while it's in its developmental stage, unless you like frequent workshop remodeling. This saves yourself the agony of having to work in a poorly organized and uncomfortable space. Again, you'll save money and time which you would otherwise use remodeling your shop. Machine placement. Placement of essential machines is one of many critical decisions that affects your shop layout. Choosing machine locations in your shop depends partly on the work you do. This determines the essential clearance area surrounding the machines for, say, handling large sheet goods or long stock. Your shop layout also reflects your workflow. Prevent excessive running around the shop by placing the machines in an efficient order. The following section discusses the most common issues in regard to machine placement. 1. Table saws. There are four different placement options for your table saw, which is an essential machine for woodworking. The first option is placing it at the center of your shop. This lends maximum flexibility and space for panel sawing, cross-cutting long boards, and ripping. Your shop should be wide and long enough, however, to allow adequate room for the workpiece on the outfeed and the infeed sides. If you have a long and narrow shop, you can get maximum space on the left side of the fence. Consider building the table saw into some surrounding extension table if you usually work with full plywood sheets or other sheet items. You might also consider orienting the table saw diagonally in the workshop, just in case your shop doesn't provide enough space for ripping your longboards. If this doesn't work, try gaining an outfeed area by aiming the back of the machine towards an operable door. Finally, keep the table saw close to the door if the workshop is in your garage, where you compactly store your machines whenever they're not in use. Therefore, you can drag or wheel it outside when you want to saw large items. 2. Jointers and planers. It's common to work with either a planer or jointer when dressing lumber. For this reason, place the jointer closest to the saw on the extension table's right side. Then place the planer adjacent to the jointer or nearby. Alignment of these tools gives your shop a long axis. Place a portable planer beneath the saw to save room. All three tools may be oriented towards the garage-style door, which allows ripping of long boards. Try positioning the planer and the jointer against the other wall if the shop is narrow and the table saw is close to a wall. Place the machines in an operable doorway if the shop is not long enough to adequately accommodate long workpieces. 3. Other machines. Once you put the major machines in place, the others may be arranged wherever there's space for them. You can tuck them into unused areas since there's often not enough room in the middle of the shop. Workshops which have centric table saws may have a spindle sander, a router, or a shaper upon a table. It has the identical height as the table saw at the extension table, which is placed on the outfeed side of the table. You can build a router into the extension table of the table saw. It's an excellent way of saving space. Machine and workspace proximity. Many other woodworking machines and tools work best whenever aligned against walls. They're easily powered and connected to dust collection. The space between these machines usually depends on the size of stock with which you're working. It depends, too, on whether or not adjacent machines have tables with similar height and how much room you have in the first place. You can easily pull a tool away from against the wall if you need additional space. Group-related tools and machines. The machines or tools should be grouped to make your everyday tasks easier. The jointer, the thickness planer, and the table saw should be placed close to each other since the process of, say, ripping lumber and dressing its surfaces and edges involves repeatedly using the three machines. Lay out your bench area such that it is close by your portable power tools. It should also be near the various supplies that you always need in the work area. Dividing shop space. Performing all your woodworking operations in a single room can prove to be very tiresome, just like living in a single-room house presents its challenges. For instance, it's an extremely bad idea to start applying a finish in a room that has just sanded parts. You get the point, right? Bench tools are popular in multi-person workshops. One person runs machines while the other works in peace. However, in such shops, complexities such as workflow and shop layout often multiply exponentially. In fact, having two woodworkers successfully operate in the same room is twice as hard as having a single person work successfully in the same place. Finishing areas. Creating a separate area or room is crucial if you have a specialization in wood finishing, or it is just the biggest part of your woodworking business. Consider installing a spray booth. This is perhaps the easiest way to come up with a fire-safe and adequately ventilated finishing space. You can wall off a section or a corner of the main room, or consider making a small addition to the back of your shop. Add a small ventilation fan in your finishing room. Then you can work without worrying too much about the finish fumes, which in fact can pose health risks. Mobile machines. Mobile machines come with a lot of conveniences. Fitting some or all of your equipment with wheeled bases allows you to reposition them easily. You can find a variety of ready-made wheelbases for most modern stationary machines. The base is bolted to the machine's bottom. It rests on the floor whenever you're not using the tool. You will engage the retracted wheels of the base by cranking down a hand screw or pressing a pedal, depending on the type of base and its design. Build your own mobile bases. It is easy to build a wheeled base upon construction of a good wheel retraction system. Here I'll explain two designs. In the first design, you'll screw two wheels to an edge of plywood and lumber frame bolted to the tooled base. The tool or machine will firmly rest on the ground until you tip it back onto its wheels. In the second design, mount two non-pivoting wheels on one side of your base. Secure with heavy bolts on the opposite side. This way you can move the machine by tipping it up slightly. One side of your machine will always rest on the wheels, so use this design on extremely heavy tools that are not prone to vibrations and movement. You can mount lighter machines and tools on shop-made platforms which ride on regular locking casters. These have rubber wheels which you can find in most hardware stores. Chapter 4. Equipment Lists. We've come to arguably the most important section of this book. Most beginner woodworkers spend money on tools that they don't need or use. Many have the misconception that starting a shop is expensive. Common wisdom that you get what you pay for. This is not necessarily correct, as some are overpriced. Some tools are gems which you'll get much more than you're paying for. So let's break it down and talk about shop equipment. More importantly, let's discuss budgeting for it. Most of you probably need help to answer questions such as the following. Where do I start? What do I really need to buy? What should I buy first and why? Where can I get the best prices? I'll answer all of those questions and more. I'll provide specific recommendations based upon what I found works for me. These recommendations will probably work just as well for you, while never losing sight of the fact that cost needs to play a role in our decisions. Let's start with the basics above all else. What equipment do you really need to get started? I'll break this chapter up into multiple parts and lists, That way, you'll find a list that is suitable for your current situation. 1. Essential shop list under $5,000. 2. Startup shop list under $1,000. 3. Hand tool only list under $500. 4. Lowest decibel quietest shop list under $1,000. Essential shop list under $5,000. For efficient space planning, it's important not to go crazy and buy large power tools or equipment. The ability to use floor space more efficiently must be considered. As an example, my table saw has the ability to mount a router. Also, there are many table saws which are portable and generally smaller in size. It's a good idea to consider them for small spaces. Even better are rolling workstations and multi-tool tables. One tip to work with small spaces is to buy tools as you need them. Consider this. Does the tool meet my need today? If it does, how long will it take to outgrow it, if ever? If you don't need them yet, you don't know if you'll need them in the future, and you might just end up wasting money. Here's a shop inventory that I did some time ago for my own purposes. Items had to meet specific criteria to be placed on this list. This includes: is the item capable of building furniture projects within a reasonable time frame? The item is of acceptable quality. There is overlap in function between a few items on the list, however, several were never included. That is, if a task could be accomplished while using an item without too much extra effort, I see the minimum inventory when I look at this list. I could build furniture with or without a significant loss in quality or time. The provided list is not meant to be a recommendation for a specific brand or model number of tool. Rather, the brands and model numbers listed are representative of certain quality levels or capabilities. It's also geared toward furniture building or home improvement projects. As such, it does not contain some specialty items. I've included a couple of items worth mentioning on the list. Likewise, I've listed a certain level of the contractor type table saw. It is possible to complete projects while using lower grade equipment. This type of machine should present fewer problems in operation, particularly in its usability and alignment. However, the table saw is the core power tool in this shop, like most. Any improvements made to this item will have a large positive impact upon the entire shop. This reflects progressive capability, accuracy, and usefulness. Additionally, I've included a planer and jointer, which are two halves of the same machine in my opinion. The capability these tools bring to the shop far outweigh their cost, even though I can and have built projects without them. Stock material is neither flat nor straight, while it is possible to purchase stock S4S or S2S R1E, compared to the level of flatness and straightness you can achieve using your own tools. A large amount of frustration can be avoided by beginning with flat stock of consistent thickness. It would be possible to forego the power jointer and planer and use hand planes instead. The only drawback to this is that it takes much more skill and time to prepare stock. There are some notable absences, such as a circular saw, shop vac, miter saw, air compressor, and spray gun, to name a few. While these items would be welcome additions, they're not absolutely required. Your circumstances may dictate otherwise. Startup shop list under $1,000. It seems implausible to set up shop with equipment under $1,000. However, I started to piece together a starter list for beginners as I started looking at the beginner workshops and talking to several aspiring woodworkers. The goal is to make basic and functional furniture within a city. Power tools are acceptable, but keep in mind space and noise are both an issue. Specifically, the main question is, what tools and brands are most necessary? You'll want to carefully configure which tools you actually need, since you'll only be budgeting $1,000. Also, it's wise to be honest with yourself on what you need. Doesn't make sense to pay for extra tools with features you'll never use, or for expensive tools that you'll use a couple of times a year, especially when less expensive versions are available. Here are the tools I'd recommend for basic fundamentals, as well as building simple small crafts for the beginner workshops. Chisels. Irwin Marple's Blue Chip Chisels cost $70. There are lots of specialty chisels you could add over time, but I don't think you can skip the basic set. Hand planes. I have an antique Miller Falls No. 4 right now, which cost me $40. I had to spend hours cleaning it up and tuning it, and I think you'll have to do the same with most new hand planes. I'd like to get a No. 7 or No. 8 plane and a scrub plane first, and then add more specialty planes as I learn how to use them. I'd probably get a jointer and a planer if I had the money, the space, and a dust collection system. I'm expecting to pay at least $100 for the larger No. 7 or No. 8 plane. It'll hopefully cost around $20 or less for the small scrub plane. Spoke shave. Kuhn's 151 flat and round bottom spoke shaves. Cost $27. Sharpening system for hand tools. Japanese 1200-8000 combination waterstone. Cost $35. G9650 9-inch by 12-inch by 3-inch granite surface plate, 2 ledges. Cost $30. Somax No. 22 honing guide. Cost $12. You'll go through lots of sandpaper when you're initially tuning your hand tools. Therefore, expect to spend at least $100 on sandpaper. But the good news is that you only have to go through the flattening process once. Then you're just working on maintaining your edge. Hand saws. Japanese Goyokucho dovetail saw for fine work. Cost $42. Coping saws. Cost $5. You can find a lot of value coping saws over at harborfreight.com. Marking and measuring. Engineering squares. Cost for set of 4, $30 at leevalley.com. Robert Larson combination squares. Cost $9. Marking knife. LV marking knife. Cost $11 at leevalley.com. Clamps. The rule is that you can never have enough clamps. I only have 4 bar clamps, 2 speed clamps, and a couple of cheap C clamps. Find the value clamps over at harborfreight.com. Power tools. For buying power tools at low costs, visit BigSkyTool.com and harborfreight.com first. Big Sky Tool offers refurbished tools at a low price, so you can find an incredible deal every once in a while. HarborFreight.com offers discounted prices all year long on a lot of budget tools as well. The tools offered on Harbor Freight are not top-of-the-line stuff. Most of them are beginner budget options. However, there are plenty of gems, especially hand tools, so take a look at their offerings. Power tools to get: table saw, band saw, miter saw, jigsaw, drill press, corded drill, cordless drill, orbital sander. Everything on this list should put you under $1,000. Tip on hand tool buying: estate sales, antique stores, and eBay are a really great way to acquire hand tools cheaply. Hand tool only list under $500. I'm a big fan of hand tools. It's inexpensive to get started, quiet, and it serves as a good foundation for your woodworking journey. Many articles and books point to the expensive pro tools, but could just as easily be done with less expensive hand tools or lesser power tools. Books tend to focus on the easiest and most expensive solutions rather than more practical tools for us. A few simple and inexpensive saws, chisels, combination square, hand planes, these will always be your best friends and relatively come at a low cost. All can be acquired under $100 total. As you start building stuff, you realize that many power tools are very handy, and then you can decide which ones you'd want to buy and in what order, depending on project. I have yet to read or hear a woodworker say that they wish they had focused more on power tools when starting off. Below is a list of my top recommended hand tools to start with. These are all you need to start up your shop and start making projects. The best thing about them is they're great value. Jack plane. Many people recommend it as the first plane you buy because it's versatile. Often used similarly as a scrub plane when the blade is cambered. If you do use it as your only bench plane, it's best to have 2 blades, one cambered and one not. Low-angled jack planes are often recommended as your jack plane because you can swap out blades with different angles and they work well as a shooting board plane. Wood River No. 5 V3 cost $169. Block plane. These little planes can be used to trim your joints, put chamfers on board edges, trim end grain, etc. I'd recommend finding a low-angle block plane because the low angle lets you cut difficult grain more easily. This one is a Stanley 12-220 block plane, cost $16. Marking knife. Marking knives are more accurate than pencils because the marks have no thickness and chisels naturally register to the cut. LV marking knife, cost $11. Marking gauge. Marking gauges allow you to consistently mark distances from the edge of a board. Most people prefer versions that use a knife or wheel disc over the ones with a pin. Mortise gauges have two knives that are set to the width of your mortise chisel. Eventually, it's nice to have a few. Marple's Beech half-round cutting gauge, cost $16. Square, 6-inch. You need a combination square, either a 12-inch or 6-inch. While 6-inch combination squares are not as common, I find them to be a more useful size, big enough for accuracy, yet small enough to not get in the way. If you opt for a machinist square, make sure your 12-inch is a combo. LV Engineer's Square 6-inch, cost $18. Tape measure. One of the most basic and essential tools you'll need. You can't go wrong with your choice. If you're on a budget, you can take a look at Harbor Freight's selection. Tri-square. A tri-square is used to square up your workpieces for precise fitting joints. If you're not confident enough to build your own tri-square, you should purchase a good metal tri-square, somewhere between 9 and 12 inches. It'll be used for scribing square lines down the face of your boards, such as a line for where to cut with your saw. Lee Valley Engineer's Squares cost $26. Mortise chisel, 1/4 inch. To start off, you only need either a 1/4 inch or 3/8 inch mortise chisel, or some size close to those. You don't need a whole set of mortise chisels. Mortise chisels, also spelled M-O-R-T-I-C-E, are used for chopping mortises, rectangular holes, into the side of your board for insertion of a tenon. Mortise and tenon is a very common and very strong joint that most people have heard of. Narex mortise inches, cost $14. Bench chisel, 1/4 inch, 1/2 inch, and 1.5 inch. For bench chisels, you can also take a look at other Narex offerings. Narex classic inches cost $20. Mallet. Mallet choices can be very personal, but almost any mallet will work to start with. The differences are mostly shape, a square joiner's mallet versus round carver's mallet, and weight, lighter for detail work versus bigger for heavier work like mortises. Consider something between 16 ounces to 20 ounces, 4 1/4 inch to start with. If you choose to make a mallet, the laminated ones are the easiest to build and most forums have great examples and tutorials. More expensive mallets are often made with different materials like brass, urethane, or resin impregnated wood to change the weight, size, and durability. Crown mallet, 20 ounce, cost $20. Claw hammer. Nails are as traditional as dovetail joints, and hammers are essential for your kit. Traditionalists like wooden handles, smooth heads, and curved, not straight claws. Woodworkers tend to use smaller hammers than carpenters, so 16 ounces or less is preferred. Tecton hammer, 16 ounce, cost $9. Rip handsaw. A rip saw is a good choice for your first handsaw because making rip cuts is more arduous than crosscuts. One reason hand tools have gotten a bad rap over the past few decades is because quality saws weren't made anymore. Today, there are a lot of quality handmade saws, but they also tend to be very expensive. There aren't many inexpensive options. Instead, many buy vintage saws and use it to learn the skills of sharpening. One alternative is to start with a cheap saw, like this Stanley or Japanese Ryoba, and save up for something nicer. Stanley Combo 20-inch 9-point cost $15. Carcass saw. Carcass saws are typically medium-sized back saws, filled cross-cut with 12 to 14 teeth. It is used for cutting pieces to final size, along with typical fine cross-grain cuts, like tenon shoulders and dados. This is a great first back saw to purchase because its medium size allows it to be used in a lot of cases. Consider also the hybrid-filled sash saws, which were a traditional option in combination with a finer dovetail saw. LV Carcass 11-inch 14 TPI Crosscut. Cost $80. RIP Dovetail Backsaw. Backsaws are specifically designed for fine joinery work. They have a rigid steel or brass back to keep the blade stiff. Dovetail backsaws are the smallest backsaws, typically 8 to 10 inches, and are configured with fine rip-filed teeth, 15 to 20 per inch, and are configured with fine rip-filled teeth, 15 to 20 PPI for cutting along the grain, think dovetails. Thinner blades, 0.02-ish, are preferred, and I like the pistol grip handle because of my big hands. I'm a fan of certain Japanese saws, and this model is one of my absolute favorites for dovetail work. It's a modern variation of the traditional Japanese pull-stroke saw, and I use it for all types of joints. Ryoba 9.5-inch double-edge razor saw for hardwoods from Japan Woodworker, 1.7mm teeth pitch. Cost $38. Coping saw. The very affordable coping saw, often less than $20, is regularly used for rough cutting shapes in the board, but especially for removing waste from dovetail joints, one of the most common wood joints. An affordable coping saw will work just fine as long as you have plenty of replacement blades on hand, also very affordable. Olsen Saw SF63510 Coping Saw Frame. Cost $13. Miter Box and Miter Saw. A good miter box and miter saw, a very large back saw, will enable you to cut your wood to very accurate lengths at accurate angles. This will especially save you a lot of time in trying to square your board ends when building boxes and tool chests. The long miter saw glides back and forth through a rigid saw frame. Stanley 20-600 Clamping Miter Box with Saw. Cost $14. Honing Guide Jig. Honing guides make sharpening easy. While many suggest learning to sharpen without guides, using a guide makes sharpening consistent for the beginner. Certain guides are better for different blades. The Eclipse-style side clamping guide is great for most blades, especially with some customization. Eclipse-style honing guide, cost $12. Wooden hand screw. Wooden hand screws are a great first set of clamps to purchase because of their versatility. Because of their shape, you can clamp these clamps onto a table or workbench to create a temporary front vise or to hold wood to mortise. Buy two. Harbor Freight hand screw 10-inch, cost $8. Cost of these tools, $499. Tip: you can pay an even lower cost if you substitute some tools listed here for budget options located at harborfreight.com. Lowest decibel, quietest shop list under $1,000. If you're sensitive to noise levels, live in an apartment, or you need to find the quietest tools in your situation, you'll find this list useful. Do note that the quietest tools are still hand tools. However, there are many machines and power tools that are extra quiet, 143 decibels or less, and I'll list them here. In my experience, Ryobi and Bosch power tools are generally quieter than other offerings. Do also be aware that the sharper your blade is, the quieter your machine will be. Here's a list of the lowest decibel power tools that are a great value. Bosch Special Edition IXO Cordless Screwdriver. Cost $60. Works WX477 550 watt jigsaw. Cost $40. Bosch PSM 100A sander. Cost $53. Simple Value Palm Sander 105 watt. Cost $20. Black & Decker Mouse Detail Sander. Cost $33. Dremel MM30 2.5 amp Multi-Max Oscillating Toolkit.
Cost $50. Bosch Random Orbit 5-inch Sander Polisher ROS20VSC. Cost $69. Ryobi 10-inch Drill Press ZRDP103L. Cost $180. Ryobi 15-amp 10-inch Table Saw with Steel Stand RTS10G. Reconditioned, cost $190. You can get a reconditioned unit at a great deal for $130 at this link. As of this writing, it's still available. Ryobi 15-amp 10-inch sliding miter saw with laser. Cost $169. Ryobi CSB143LZK 14-amp 7¼-inch circular saw. Cost $75. Total cost of these tools, $912. Tip: you can get these tools at a lower cost if you find great refurbished units at BigSkyTool.com, eBay, or your local ads. Chapter 5: My personal recommended tools and where to get them at low costs. I would always suggest that new woodworkers start by getting the necessary tools to build the first project and then go from there. In my case, it was to rebuild my backyard fence. This was when I got my DeWalt miter saw and 14.5-volt drill. My next project was my daughter's crib, which I completed 1 year after she was born. The idea is to buy what you need. Before making the purchase, the most important two things to realize are: does this tool meet my need today? If it does, how long will I take to outgrow it, if ever? The last thing you want to do is spend good money on a tool and find out that it no longer meets your needs a year later. That's what happened when I first bought my DeWalt benchtop saw for $500 and then upgraded to a Delta Unisaw 14 months later. Case in point, I always thought that a lathe would be the coolest thing on earth to own, so I made it my first power tool purchase. Now, several years later, I use it, but only when whatever project I'm working on requires it. With that said, let's dive into this chapter. I'll discuss about all the tools and specific recommendations in accordance to the brands, reviewing how to get these tools and the costs involved. First, let's separate power tools into three general categories. 1. Stationary power tools. 2. Portable power tools. 3. Other power tools. Stationary power tools. These include table saws, radial arm saws, band saws and drill presses, jointers and planers, lathes, bench grinders, compressors. Portable power tools: hand drills, sanders, jigsaws, circular saws, multifunction tools, routers, reciprocating saws. Other power tools: pneumatic. There are probably many more name brands with which I'm familiar. The major brands I personally owned or have owned have had the most success. These are Craftsman, Delta, DeWalt, Rigid, Hitachi, Skill, Jet, PSI, Woodworking, and Ryobi. So let's dive right in. Stationary power tools. Table saws. What is the first stationary power tool that almost everyone buys and that you should buy? Give yourself an A if you guessed table saw. All home workshops start with a table saw, and they're priced around $150 to $3,000. I would personally go for a sawtop 3-horsepower professional cabinet saw if my money was not an object. It has a 52-inch professional T-Glide fence system. Their model PCS312 is sold at woodcraft.com. You'd be hard-pressed to find a better saw. I say that with no reservations. Here's the write-up from the Woodcraft site. The SawStop 230 3-horsepower 10-inch professional cabinet saw is engineered to fit the unique demands in a home setting. This saw's 230-volt power and footprint make it ideal for the many challenges of a home shop while delivering the peerless fit and finish of the professional cabinet saw.
With SawStop's legendary Safer system and an uncompromising quality and industry-leading dust collection, the 230 Professional Cabinet Saw is engineered to be the cornerstone of a high-end home shop. How much do you need to spend on a table saw to suit your woodworking projects? I didn't have a lot of money when I bought my first table saw many years ago, so I budgeted and I went with a Delta Model TS200LS. There are several other similar saws. The Black & Decker BDTS200, for example. The Rockwell RK7240-1 is another. Saws of this type usually retail for between $100 and $200 if you can't afford anything better. You can do an Amazon search for table saws and you'll see several. If you want to economize, I suggest you do it someplace other than on your table saw. You'll thank me. I still have my Delta TS200LS and still occasionally use it. It's hard for me to part with any of my tools. I do, however, especially like three table saws, all below $900. First is the Steel City 13-amp 10-inch table saw model 35990C, available at Lowe's.com for about $830. This is just a workhorse. You can usually get either 5% off or special financing from Lowe's. Here's a more complete description. Motor, 1.5 horsepower TEFC, 120 volt, 240 volt. Seamless cast iron tabletop provides the best environment during operation. Maximum blade speed is 3,450 RPI. The precision machined cast iron trunnions are mounted to the table cabinet to ensure perfect blade alignment. This increases stability and ease of adjustment. This table saw is backed by a 2-year warranty. Craftsman 10-inch is the second table saw, which is of exceptional value. Contractor saw, Sears, number 21833, model 351, 218330. At $549.99, this saw is a bargain. By the way, Sears has one more model that is worth your time. That's the Craftsman Professional 1-314HP Premium Hybrid 10-inch table saw, Sears number 22116. It's a little heavier, 432 pounds versus 288 pounds, than the 21833, which has casters. It's more suited to a shop where it won't have to be moved. So there you have it. I think the Sears 21833 is a good all-around table saw for any shop. Finally, at $549.99, you'll be hard-pressed to beat it. Remember, Sears has a lot of sales. Sears has stood behind the Craftsman name for a lot of years. I still have some of their tools that I bought when I was in high school. Radial arm saws, miter saws. Many people don't buy one of these for their shops. I've always had one and I use it a lot. While the radial arm saw is primarily used for cross-cutting, it does wonders with bevel mitering, bevel ripping, and bevel cross-cutting. I've done all of those on mine. The radial arm saw is both efficient and precise with laser-guided cuts. If you add the various attachments that are available, a radial arm saw can become a router, sander, buffer, polisher, and even a boring machine. The size of any radial arm saw always refers to the size of the blade that the saw uses. By far the most common size is the 10-inch model. These saws are also available in 12-inch, 16-inch, and even 18-inch. The blade size dictates how deep the saw will cut. For example, a 10-inch blade can cut up to a 3-inch depth. Many of the newer radial arm saws sold today come with an automatic blade brake that slows and stops the saw once the motor is shut down. My personal radial arm saw doesn't have that. The radial arm saw is perhaps more dangerous than a table saw, but both require you to know where both hands are all the time. I have all my fingers and plan to keep it that way. I used to have a rigid RS-1000 that I bought on eBay for $350. I paid another $50 to have it shipped to me. It was almost brand new. This saw retailed for around $1,500 when I bought it. Unfortunately, Rigid no longer produces a radial arm saw. These days, sliding compound miter saws, the bigger cousins of the chop saw, have taken the place of the radial arm saw. Since Rigid no longer produces radial arm saws, you'll have to look at brands such as Ryobi, Bosch, Delta, DeWalt, Rockwell, or Craftsman. A radial arm saw is one piece of equipment that you'll frequently find on Craigslist, eBay, and Amazon.
The 12-inch models and 16-inch models are nice, but not necessary for most. If this is a piece of equipment that you think you would like, it's one item on which you can economize. I use mine almost as much as I do my table saw. Another alternative would be a compound miter saw. We'll discuss that later. About all that can go wrong with a radial arm saw are the bearings in the track on which the saw runs. This occurs as you pull the saw mechanism forward. Not a huge deal to change those at all. The only downside is if there's one that takes up a fair amount of floor space, but I would not be without mine. A decent radial arm saw currently available for purchase is the DeWalt 300mm radial arm saw. It's a freestanding radial arm saw with 507mm of crosscut capacity and 90mm depth of cut. Pre-assembled and adjusted, delivered in a wooden crate for maximum transportation protection, strengthened column assembly and base arrangement supports the extra arm length. For miter saws, my favorite would be the Ryobi TSS-120L 12-inch 15-amp sliding miter saw with laser. Sliding head provides maximum capacity for up to 13.25-inch crosscut. Machined cast-in miter scale for accurate table alignment. Fixed dust portion maintains the ideal position to optimize dust collection efficiency. New, refurbished, used. Let me take a short break here and discuss this. Which is best for you? I set up my last shop. I bought a lot of tools refurbished, primarily hand tools. I'll give you the sources I used when we get to that part of the book. I have absolutely nothing against both used and refurbished. If you're buying refurbished, you want to make sure that the company doing the refurbishing knows what they're doing. Make sure they've done it for a while and have a good reputation for doing it. Used tools are a little trickier. One question I always ask is, why are you selling this? And I listen closely to the answer. If they're selling it because they're upgrading, it gives me a better feeling. Most of us can tell if a tool is worn out. I'm not interested in buying something that won't give me good service, regardless of how cheap it is. Where do I, and where can you, find good used tools, both power and hand? I've had some really good luck with garage sales, especially when the seller is moving into a smaller home. You can find some bargains on Craigslist, although I'm personally not a big fan of Craigslist. I've also bought a fair number of tools on eBay and Amazon. Patience is the absolute key. You'll find some terrific tools on the used market if you have patience. Band saws and drill presses. I did without these two items for many years after I started woodworking. I recommend that you seriously consider just how much you'll use a bandsaw or a drill press. Having said that, if you decide that either or both are necessary for your shop, then you need to decide how much you want to spend. Bandsaws can be purchased new or used. They generally can be purchased for under $200. The price of a bandsaw is partially determined by the width of material which it can cut, also referred to as the throat capacity. A 9-inch bandsaw can cut up a piece of material up to 9 inches wide. That may not be wide enough if you're a furniture maker. My use of a bandsaw is somewhat limited. I chose a 9-inch Ryobi Model 85902. I bought it reconditioned several years back and paid around $100 for it. I like the 10-inch Rikon 10305 a lot. I recently saw it advertised on sale in a catalog from HighlandWoodworking.com for $199.95. The stand was another $59.95. Personally, I've simply built all of my own stands out of 1x4 MD and 2x4 stock. This is what I would buy if I were to replace my Ryobi. Rikon also makes a 14-inch model, the 10325, which retails for $799.95 at Highland. Most places that sell power tools sell bandsaws. Sears still sells these as well. Drill presses. Let's spend a little more time on drill presses. I use my drill press a lot more as opposed to the bandsaw. That may or may not be the case with you. I do a fair amount of cabinet work. I usually use concealed hinges, which require the drilling of a 35mm cup. Hardwood, such as poplar, which I use often, requires a decent amount of drilling power. I'd go with a floor model if I were to buy a drill press again. The cost is anywhere from about $299 at Northern Industrial Tools to up to thousands.
Lowe's has a Porter Cable for $329, a Sun-X for $629, and a Delta for $1,287. I don't think most people need to spend more than a maximum of $400 for one. I bought a performance tool for about $100 several years ago. I see them on Amazon these days for between $122 and $153. It's a little underpowered, but I've always been able to do the things I need to do with it well. Jointers and planers. These two items are a must if you're a serious woodworker. I use both of mine a lot. In fact, I use them on almost every project I do. I personally own the Delta JT160 Shopmaster Jointer. I bought mine used for roughly $325. This is a general use machine. It has a variable speed of 6,000 and 11,000 RPM, which is more than adequate for most hardwoods. It has a two-knife cutter head that can easily be leveled. This is easy to replace. It has an extra-large table, which enables you to service stock up to a full 6 inches wide. This is the only machine which home woodworkers will ever need. You can certainly spend a lot more, but unless you plan to do production work on it, it's not necessary. Check out other available products at Sears.com. I actually use my planer more than I use my jointer. Still, the prices on the planer are all over the map. I bought a reconditioned DeWalt DW734 15-amp, 12.5-inch, 3-inch blade benchtop model for $170. Then I built a wooden stand for it. Lowe's sells it new these days for $399. Their item number is 221857. This planes wood so smooth that only light sanding is necessary. It's self-feeding. Lathe. This was the last item I added, and I haven't used it as much as I first intended. So take into consideration how often it'll be used before you purchase it. I went with a PSI TCL PROVS Turncrafter Pro VS Variable Speed Wood Lathe model for $375. I added a 10-inch extension bed for another $90. You can pay thousands for a lathe. The MIDI lathes are adequate for most woodworkers. Harbor Freight sells several imported models from harborfreight.com if you're looking for a larger model. Sears sells several wood lathes that range in price up to $2,650. Woodcraft also sells several ranges which are priced all the way up to $7,500, too rich for my blood. Bench grinders. Every shop should have a bench grinder. I own and recommend the DeWalt DW758 bench grinder, which you can usually buy for around $100 from Amazon. It has a 3-horsepower motor and runs at 3,600 RPM. This is hard to find anywhere else. This is a tool that you will frequently use. You can spend more or less for it, but this is a reasonably priced grinder that has served me well. Something else that I will add shortly is a WorkSharp W3000 tool sharpener for about $200. This can be purchased from Rockler.com. This was specifically designed to sharpen chisels and planes. It's somewhat of a specialty item, but definitely worth the money. Yes, you can do that with the DeWalt DW75B. Compressors. Finally, the last item that I think every shop needs is a compressor. I personally have two. One that is mostly portable and somewhat underpowered. I bought this from Harbor Freight on sale for around $30. Its item number is 95275. It is a pancake air compressor, oilless, 3rd horsepower, 3-gallon, 100 PSI. $30 at Harbor Freight. Air delivery, 0.6 cubic feet per minute at 90 PSI. 1 cubic foot per minute at 40 PSI. Low maintenance, oilless pump, built-in accessory storage, easy-to-read gauges, fully enclosed motor housing with easy carry handle, includes quick connect coupler and thermal overload protection. The other one, a Hitachi EC510, has a maximum working pressure of 140 PSI and retails for around $300, although it can be bought used for $300 and bought refurbished for $112. The one I bought was purchased from BigSkyTool.com. I also purchased a lot of other tools from them, which were all refurbished. I've never had any problems with any of these. We'll discuss more on these tools later. This concludes the basic stationary power tools that most people consider whenever equipping their woodworking shop. Portable power tools. There's a wide array of portable power tools that most of us buy. These days, many of those are battery-powered and rechargeable. I still use a lot of corded models, but battery-powered items, such as hand drills, really are useful and highly portable. Hand drills. Let's start with hand drills. There are so many of them on the market. A person could probably write a book about them. I have two that I've used for some time which I found to be reliable. One is a corded hand drill, and the other is a battery-operated. I've had my corded drill for many years, the Craftsman Model 315. I don't find it at Sears.com anymore. Still, if you like Craftsman tools such as I, then this item number is 00910114000P. The model is 315. It looks pretty much the same and retails for around $49.95. I like a 3/8 inch hand drill versus a 1/4 inch drill the best. There are a lot of them out there. I've seen them for as low as $19. I bought my Grade A reconditioned Hitachi model DS18DVF3 18-volt 2-inch hand drill with interchangeable flashlight for $65 from Big Sky Tool. They offer a Grade C reconditioned one for $39.95. I subsequently bought an extra battery from Lowe's. Sanders. I recommend purchasing two sanders, one belt sander and one orbital sander. I use a Hitachi 3-inch 2-speed belt sander, model SB75B. Big Sky Tool recently advertised one, Grade C reconditioned sander, for $68.77. Here's what they say about the condition. Certified reconditioned Grade C. This means it may have a more worn, used look than Grade A. Still, it comes with the full certified and reconditioned warranty. I presume by now that you realize my faith in Big Sky Tool. I've saved a lot of money buying from them, and I've never had one problem with anything. The other sander I consider invaluable is the Porter Cable 1.9 amp orbital power sander. I bought this from Lowe's for $49.97. It uses 8 hole-and-loop sanding discs that are easy to change and readily available. I have mine hooked up to my shop vac, but it comes with a self-contained dust collection system, although it has a limited capacity. It has a speed of 12,000 orbits per minute. This item number is 241473, and the model is 382. It's available at Lowe's. Another inexpensive sander is the Skill Detail Power Sander, available for $29.98 from Lowe's. Its pointed tip is ideal for sanding corners. Aside from this, you may want to add the 3M or similar 2¾ by 5 inch rubber sanding block. Jigsaws. Most shops have one jigsaw. Mine is no exception. You won't spend a lot for one, and it may never wear out from overuse. I have a fairly economical Hitachi CJ110MV 5.8 amp top handle variable speed jigsaw, which was reconditioned from Big Sky Tool for around $75, Grade C condition. Home Building Magazine stated this jigsaw is a best value. It features 4-stage orbital action that increases cutting efficiency. It allows the user to select the aggressiveness of the cut based on the material or application. 5.8 amp motor has more than enough strength to power the toughest materials with ease. Toolless blade change system allows the blade to be changed quickly and easily. A top-mounted LED light illuminates the workspace. This improves cutline visibility. Powerful dust blower pushes sawdust and chips away from the cutting path for a cleaner, more visible work surface. Electronic speed control maintains strokes per minute, even as load vanes. The lock-on variable speed trigger allows the user to control the speed. It keeps it set without having to squeeze the trigger, preventing numb fingers from extended use. The cast is an aluminum nickel-plated base. It offers solid support during cutting and resists scratching work surfaces during use. Base plate bevels 45 degrees to the right and left to assist in different cutting applications. Soft, patented elastomeric compound that covers the jigsaw absorbs the vibrations, prevents slippage, and provides maximum control while cutting. Curved D-shape handle conforms to a secure grip. It is comfortable when held in many positions. It features Hitachi's pioneering design that incorporates ergonomics to make the tool more comfortable and easy to use. 4.9 pounds, the lightest in its class to prevent user fatigue and make maneuvering the tool much easier. Accepts T-shank blades only. Miter saws. I've used mine many times. I have a pretty basic Hitachi model C10F CH2. This 10-inch compound miter saw offers the ultimate in form and function. There's no doubt that this saw is designed for the professional due to its aggressive design. The C10F CH2 features a powerful 15-amp motor, a vibration-reducing horizontal handle, and Hitachi's exclusive laser marker system. The C10F CH2 is the lightest saw in its class at just 26.5 pounds. I bought mine grade A reconditioned for just over $100 from BigSkyTool.com. Circular saws. This is the second most popular tool in any shop right behind the table saw. I have a Skill Model 5380 that I bought at Lowe's for about $40. It's a 1.2 amp, 45 degree, and 7 1/4 inch corded model. It's a real workhorse that's seen a lot of hours of use. I do recommend one accessory, and that's the Craig Ripcut Circular Saw Guide that sells for $34.98 at Lowe's. It's worth 3 times more than that to me. This is the handiest gadget I own. I wish I had invented it. The Lowe's item number is 287348, model KMA2675. And now the details. Craig Ripcut Circular Saw Guide. Fast and accurate rip cuts with full support through the entire cut. Quickly and easily connects to most left and right-handed circular saws. Durable design with an easy-read adjustable scale. Rips sheets of plywood in half in just one cut. No measuring, no marking, and no chalk lines. Reversible guide arm, right or left-hand use, cuts material up to 24 inches wide. Craig makes the finest joinery system available, in my opinion. It's called the Craig Pocket Hole Jig System. It's available for many companies that sell woodworking supplies and equipment. Routers. This is another tool that should be in every woodworking shop. I have several of these. The one I use the most is table-mounted, so let's discuss that one first. Furthermore, we'll spend a little time discussing the table itself. The router I use here is the Hitachi M12VC. It's a 2 1/4 peak horsepower variable speed fixed base router. No router is quiet, and this one is no exception. 79.5 decibels, hearing protection advised. A router emanates a very high-pitched whine. Those are especially good at permanently damaging your hearing. I bought mine from BigSkyTool.com. It was a grade A certified reconditioned unit, and cost about $80 as opposed to $215 brand new. Reciprocating saws. This is something you might not need, but I found it helpful, both in and out of the shop. I have the Hitachi CR13 10-amp model. It's usually available new from Big Sky Tool for about $115. I even trim trees with it. Scroll saw. Table scroll saws can be purchased for under $150. They're nothing more than the table version of the handheld scroll saw. They come in handy if you're doing projects such as puzzles, which I've done a lot of in the past out of 2-inch wood. Couple of things are important to consider if you do projects like that. First, take into consideration the distance from the blade to its throat. I like the 16-inch models best because they provide the capability to work with wood up to 16 inches long. I also like variable speed models that provide the ability to cut at a slower rate of speed. This is especially beneficial when you're working with thin stock. If you go to Sears.com, then you'll see at least 3 models all under $150. Combo sanders. I've owned one of these in the past, but haven't really needed one enough to buy a brand new one. They come in various sizes. These are a combination of a belt and a disc sander in one piece of equipment. For reference only, look at woodcraft.com and type in sander. They have a 6-inch by 48-inch belt with a 10-inch disc sander. It's a Rikon for $350. I like a 6-inch belt and a 10-inch disc. Most people use a 4-inch belt paired with a 6-inch disc. Frankly, I think you're best to go with a little more capacity if you're going to buy a combo sander. There are also combo sanders which have a 9-inch disc. This is certainly adequate for $199.99 that comes with an industrial stand. It has a tabletop 4-inch belt, 6-inch disc for $59.99.
Spindle sanders. An oscillating spindle sander can save you a lot of time if your projects include radius work. Try to get a model with at least a 14-inch table diameter. Harbor Freight has one for sale priced at $129.99. Tip? I recommend that you start with a good table saw if you're starting your first woodworking shop. Spend a few hundred for a high-quality table saw. Don't economize here. You can buy some really good table saws for less than $1,000. It'll be the best investment you ever make. From there, depending on the projects you take on, add equipment when you think you'll use it. Let projected frequency of use tell you what to buy and when to buy it.
Pneumatic tools. There are several pneumatic tools that really save me in the shop. They're not expensive. The alternative is a hammer, which is probably cheaper. The two I use are the 18-gauge brad nailer that uses 5/8-inch to 2-inch brads. Then, the 3.5-inch framing nailer uses 2-inch to 3.5-inch framing nails. My 18-gauge is a Hitachi NT50AE2 that was recently on sale for $48, grade A reconditioned from BigSkyTool.com. My framing nailer is a Hitachi NR90AEPR. It sells for about $140 these days. Retail on this is $390. This tool makes fast work out of any framing project. This one can always be rented if you don't need it often. I bought mine to build an equipment building so that I could store our lawn maintenance equipment. This includes a tractor. I probably paid for it with that one fairly large project in time saved.